Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by James Maloney.
Well, you know the Lord deserves a tremendous hand clap. So let's give it unto Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, all of the praise and glory and honor goes to You, Lord. Would you do something before you get comfortable? Would you, I know some of you are already seated, but, and you can stay down there if you want. This is too hard to get up. But just everyone stand, and you know what you got to do? You got to bless someone with your good looks. You got to turn to him, smile, and say, he's talking about me, and I just greet you in the name of the Lord. Go ahead and do it. All right, that's enough. Well, I tell you, it's great to see each and every one of you here this morning, and what a privilege it has been in being with you, and I appreciate each and every one of you, all of your attentiveness and hunger and thirsting for the things of God, and you are just like spiritual sponges. You just soaked it in. Amen. More. And it has just been a real delight. And I thank you and the leadership of the church and their hearts of just service and giving. And, you know, this is lovely. This is wonderful. And I so appreciate the fact that this dear brother and sister is here. And you are blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you blessed? Yes, you are. And I just believe the greatest days are ahead of you. And just anticipate enjoying yourself in the presence of God this year. All right? Amen. Just really anticipate that. I believe God's going to do some amazing and wonderful things in your midst. Praise God. I mean that. I speak that. I decree it. Hallelujah. Amen. He's blessed you over the years. But just something, there's something fresh and wonderful and new. Amen. And I was pondering on this concept. I said, well, Lord, what is it that the body of Christ at large needs, you see? Not just us here, but just at large. And this concept came to me. It was like, you know, my people, it's kind of a crude concept, but I just felt that this is what was revealed to me, that my people, let's see, how do I word it? My people need a spiritual oil change. How many know there's a lot of folks that have gone past the 3,000 mile mark or the 4,000 mile mark or whenever you change oil in your car? And, you know, we're getting an oil change. Does that make sense? Because God wants us to bear life and not be barren. And we need to pose that question to people in the body of Christ. Are you barren or are you bearing life? And the word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 1 makes it very clear that Hannah was not satisfied in just having an intimacy with God apart from being fruitful. She wanted to bear a son. And the day that the people of God, they're intimate with their Lord, but they lack fruitfulness in expressing what God has blessed them with, that day is coming to an end. You're going to have intimacy with fruitfulness.
Yes, that's right.
And that's what I hear. Intimacy with fruitfulness in this congregation. And it's the bearing of life. Hallelujah. And I'm convinced that this church is not going to be outdated. Amen. Disgraced or deceived, any of that matter. You're going to come into the richness and the fullness that God has promised you. Glory to God. I'm claiming that individually, speaking it to you corporately. Hallelujah. And so if I need Lord, and I do, trust me, I need a spiritual oil change, bring it about. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I am appreciative of what God has done in times past, but how many know we need something fresh and new today? And there's not anything new under the sun. I understand that, but you know, we need a grassroots movement of the Spirit to bring us out of mediocre existence into a triumphant living in God. That just came to me. I like that. Hallelujah. And don't ask me to repeat it because I don't think I can. Hallelujah. Amen. And what I heard this morning, these are days of great fruitfulness, but also these are days of preparation for something really fresh and exciting that's coming to the body of Christ. These are days of preparation for this church. And I believe that this weekend we've experienced that spiritual oil change, so to speak. Amen? We've come to a place where God is saying, you know, I want to bring a mingling or a mixing within this congregation. And I wrote this down earlier this morning because if you look at the word anointing, I'm just exhorting you for a few moments. If you look at the word anointing, it has a derivative meaning. It means something that is mingled together or mixed. Mingled or mixed together. And I'm going to take you to a key text here real quickly. I want you to remember that. To mingle or mix. There's a mixing process right now in the spirit realm. And I'll define that in just a moment. Go with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. I love this portion of scripture. Now I want you, as a congregation of people, this is a word of faith or a word of proclamation for this congregation. And we need to proclaim this. And I'm sending this word of proclamation of faith to you. Amen. Job 22 verse 28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing and it shall be established. And if you look at the phrase a thing, it means God's plans, God's purposes, what he's promised us, we will decree. The word decree means to declare the outcome of a thing or a matter before it actually materializes. How many know that's faith? We're calling those things that be not as though they were. Praise God. And it's not just, if you were here over the weekend, it's not just what we're believing we're being prepared for in the future, and there's exciting days ahead of us. But it's also decreeing and saying, Lord, what you have destined for us to experience maybe 3 to 5 years from now, would you bring aspects of that in our midst in the now?
Amen.
That's what I'm believing. Praise God. For this congregation, amen, for you individually. And so here in this particular psalm, the psalmist David, as you know the story, he was basically for a 4-year period fleeing for his life. Saul in jealousy was hard after him, and there was a tremendous wrestling in his spirit and a vexation, and he was in struggles and trials and tribulations, and it was somewhat in the natural, it could have been discouraging. But one place it states that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And please do that. Encourage yourself. I pray this weekend has been that we've encouraged one another in the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to do that. But in the midst of this tremendous travail of his soul and life, he decrees this faith proclamation. And I'm going to begin to read in verse 9 of Psalm 92. For he states, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Verse 10 is what I want you to particularly see. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That shout sounds familiar. Hallelujah. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Yeah. Say that with me. Fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies. See, this is a faith proclamation. And mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that shall rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Yes. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
they shall still bring forth fruit in old age.
Some of us need to claim that. Hallelujah.
They shall be fat
and flourishing. I rebuke that in the natural. But I claim it in the spiritual. That's kind of an inside joke, so you can get the CDs. Hallelujah, or the weekend to understand that.
They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness within him. Let me take a moment and define for you what the word fresh means in the Hebrew. You're going to love it. It means to be happy. Come on, smile. Oh, come on now. Courage yourself. Smile. Let me see the whites of your teeth or what you have or don't have. We need some teeth healing here. Hallelujah. No. I'm not even going to go there. It means to be cheerful. Come on. Just beam with a sense of cheerfulness. To flourish. To be bright, new, luxuriant. That's where we get that word, prosperous. How do you know? We, in the body of Christ, we need something fresh. Yes. We really do. We need something fresh. You know, I love the manna spiritually that comes from heaven, but how many know yesterday's manna can stink? Yes. We need something fresh and new in the now. I was reading this the other day. It's a strange word. It's in Ecclesiastes, I believe, chapter 10 and verse 1. It says that the dead flies shall cause the ointment in the apothecary to bring forth a stinking smell. Isn't that a great sermon material? You know, and I'm looking at that. I'm going, Lord, you know, what are you saying in that verse of scripture? Well, you see, we need, once again, a spiritual oil change. We need something fresh. Yes. Amen. How God moved in the past, we're thankful. But he's moving forward. The cloud of God's Spirit is moving, and we've got to move with it. Amen. We need fresh manna, fresh oil. I don't want deadness. I want life. I want to bear life, not be barren. And you may have borne life in the past, but how many know we serve a God of the present? It's what we're entering into now. And here, I'm hearing this spiritually. I'm hearing it right now. What this congregation enters into in this season of time of preparation will determine where you will be 10 or 15 years from now if Jesus should tarry. I think I'm going to have to say that one again. How many would like for me to repeat it? No, you don't want me to repeat it. All right, let's move on. What the church enters into in this present time, what we experience, is preparatory for where we will be 10 or 15 years from now. If Jesus should tarry. We've got to enter into experiential knowledge in the now. We've got to be brought into something fresh and new. Amen. And again, I'm thankful for what God's done in times past, but we serve a God of the now. When you look at this fresh oil, it means to be refreshed. It speaks of refreshment. One translation says, David declared, "The best oils are flowing on my head. Fine oils," another translation states, "has been poured on me." I love what Moffat's translation says. "You will revive my failing strength." It's talking about an in strengthening, a penetrating power to turn spiritual weariness, if need be, into life and vigor and energy, vitality. This is what this psalmist is declaring to us. In the midst of all of the adversity, all of the struggle and the warring against his faith, he encouraged himself. He spoke a word of faith to himself. He decreed, "You are going to exalt the authority, the destiny, the word. I've heard it in due season. Even though I'm in this situation, there will come a day that you will honor your word." Yes. "And I will become king." Hallelujah. Amen. That's an amazing statement. And spiritually, its application is simply this. This congregation, you know, I go to a lot of churches in many areas of the world. And it's amazing how some churches, they'll have this particular emphasis. of truth, or that particular emphasis of experience. And you know what? I really feel that God wants everything happening in this church. It's not just one or two arrows of deliverance. Take all of the arrows of truth and smite the ground in faith. And you can be a congregation that can see everything happening in your midst. You can have constant teaching, evangelism, discipleship, signs, wonders. Amen. You don't have to stress one particular truth or experience to the exclusion of others. But that can't happen just through one individual. It takes the entire body of Christ. This is where we go back to the word mingling or mixing. You know, in the Old Testament, a quick illustration, you know that those that were anointed of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament were predominantly the prophet, priest, and king. Would you say that with me? Prophet, priest, and king. The prophet was anointed to declare the word of the Lord. The priest was anointed to offer spiritual sacrifice or sacrifice on the behalf of God's people. The king was anointed to rule and to reign. Now I want you to hear this. The prophetic, this is what we've been experiencing this weekend. The prophetic will release this church into a priestly ministry that will bring about a kingly reigning anointing. Oh, I got to say that one again. That didn't go over your head. The prophetic will release this body into ministry out into and among, you know, the workplace. That's priestly ministry. How we minister on the behalf of Christ to others. But the prophetic declares that destiny. It releases the church into body ministry. You're to become the healers in Christ. Come on, the deliverers. You're to prophesy. Amen. And that will bring about a kingly reigning anointing in your life. You will establish the rule in the kingdom of God. It's not just in the four walls of this congregation. We've got to take the kingdom and extend the rule of God out there. But we in the tabernacle, we need to be anointed with fresh oil. And the Lord says that what I have promised, I decreed, I prophesied for this ministry many years ago, I watch over my word to perform it. Amen. And God says that I watch over it and I'm going to bring it to pass. So that the destiny, I'm going to exalt the horn of the authority of this church and what it is to express into this community, into this region. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. That's a good word. Because, you know, as you see the prophetic, when we talk about the prophetic, it speaks of the vocal gifts, doesn't it? What is being heard. The priestly anointing speaks of the power gifts. What is being seen. Because, you know, after some that were healed, you remember Jesus said to them, go show yourself to the priest as a testimony. Express that healing, that miracle out in and among the people. The priestly anointing represent what is being seen. As the prophetic, what is being heard. The revelation gifts or the kingly anointing, what is being revealed. Now, when you have the prophetic, the priestly, and the kingly anointing in your midst, and you've mingled all of those expressions, that constitutes the fullness of God.
Amen.
I go back to the statement, the foundation of the church is established upon the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the anointed one. If you realize it or not, we have this weekend been anointed with fresh oil.
Amen.
Our cup is to run over. Hallelujah. I want to be fat, flourishing. I want to be like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
God's raising up trees of the Lord in this congregation. And it says in the Psalms that the trees of the Lord are full of sap. I didn't say sass, but sap. I love the analogies, don't you? I really do. Now, I believe there are three expressions of freshness that you're going to be noted for. You ready? You want to know? This is prophetic. This is right hot off the press. Hallelujah. Number one, God is going to cause us to experience fresh oil for authority, to express the authority of God. As I've declared, a mingling, a mixing, that Jesus, the head of the church, as he's delegated his authority in and through his people, you're going to express your giftings and motivations and talents in a way that no one else can. You're going to reach people in a way no one else can reach. So you need to understand that when you see someone like myself or Pastor Paul, as we serve and minister and express certain giftings and operations, you need to understand we're doing it prayerfully as an example that it would bear witness in your heart that you can move in the same dynamic way.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You expect that authority. You expect that there has been a oil change. An oil change that's come to you. Hallelujah. There's a second expression of freshness. Fresh oil. That's what I heard. Fresh oil for authority. But number two, fresh oil for joy.
Amen.
The Bible says that in the place of shame and confusion, I will give you a double portion and everlasting joy. I mean, I ask the question, where is the joy of the Lord in the church? Where is the oil of gladness above our fellows? We should be the happiest people living on the planet. And the psalmist David could allow his situations and circumstances to continually discourage and bring him down under a yoke of heaviness and travail. But he rose up. He spoke this word of proclamation. He decreed it to himself. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. You will exalt my purpose, my destiny. I'll move into the authority that you've called me to move into. And I'm going to be happy, joyful. How many of you know we've got something to be happy about? You know, I was reading this the other day, Pastor. You'll like this, Paul. This is just for you because you're a character. Hallelujah. I like this guy. I mean, he's a great man. But I was reading this the other day. You know, when the Greeks persecuted the early church, they couldn't figure out why those early Christians, even in the face of intense persecution, even death, kept their commitment to the Lord. They were joyful in their Lord, even facing death. And I was pondering on that. And so they had to, the Greeks had to describe a word. They had to describe a word, come up with a word to describe that kind of Christian. And they came up with the word enthusos.
Yes.
It's where we get the word enthusiastic. They were enthusiastic about the things of God, even in the face of death.
Amen.
And I was thinking the other day, if the Greeks were to look upon the church as a whole, what word they'd invent? Non-enthusos in some places. Rigor mortis in others. But anyway, I'm sorry. Oh, that did not come from my spirit. That came from my soul. I'm sorry. That slipped out. Oh, that really slipped out. I'm sorry. You know, here's the problem. We want the anointing of God. We do, don't we? But in many quarters of Christendom, we want the anointing of God, but we want it to be respectable. It's like I was in this conference a while back, and this beautifully dressed sister in the Lord, I mean immaculately dressed, I looked at the end of the service out in the church parking lot, and she and her friend had driven up in a Rolls Royce. I mean, she wasn't just a multimillionaire. She was a billionaire, we found out. You know? And I mean, the first thing that struck me was how immaculately dressed she was. And I remember looking at her shoes, and they were mirrors. I mean, you could see yourself in her shoes, you know? And every hair was just perfectly in place. I mean, it was way up there, too. Marge Simpson would have been proud. Hallelujah. And so she comes and sits in the back, and I get this distinctive word of knowledge. There's about 150 people. I said, there's a lady over there. You know, you're dying of an incurable blood disease. Jesus wants to heal you. Now, instead of just jumping up and saying, that's me, you know what she did? She actually did this. She practically hid underneath her chair. I thought that was a little odd. And you know, the mellow, tactful person that I am, unassuming, I kind of stepped off of the pulpit and went up, you know, near her. And I said, sister, I believe that's you. You need to come up. Now, I know God could have healed in her seat, but I needed to pray for her. I said, come out from underneath that chair. Come on up here. I want to pray for you. And she didn't want to. But her friend that had come with her grabbed her. I'll never forget, grabbed her and threw her out in the middle of the aisle. This was hilarious. So she comes up to me. It was amazing. She comes up to me. I'll never forget this. And she pointed her finger at me like this. Now, it wasn't really her. It was a religious spirit, okay? But this is what she said to me. She said, preacher, I want to be healed, but I don't want to have to fall. I thought, where did that come from? Now, how many know you don't have to fall? But how many know if God wants you to fall, you're going to fall? Well, it was a challenge. And I like challenges. And I thought, okay, now this religious spirit is challenging the liberty that we've been experiencing. So I don't know if the Holy Spirit honored this, it was me or what, I don't know. But I kind of got upset, all right? In a good way, I think. And underneath my breath, she's standing there, I want to be healed, but I don't want to fall. So I just underneath my breath, I said, Holy Ghost, sicker. That's a word. Now, you don't have that in the UK. You know, dogs, you know, if you have dogs, you go, sick them, you know, just get them, go, you know, attack, whatever. See, you know, you got to know American, you know, phrases and sick them. You know, I just, underneath my breath, get her, Holy Ghost. Now, this is the truth. She didn't just fall under the power. God grabbed her feet out from underneath her. This is the truth. I mean, she hit head first on the carpet. And it's a real funny thing because the only thing that saved her from a concussion was this head of hair. That when it hit the carpet, it went, oh, it was fun. Now, she laid under the power of the Holy Ghost, totally ruining the service. We couldn't pick her up. And I mean, she's weeping and sobbing and groaning and travailing and makeup's all over her face and spits flying and snot is flying everywhere. And I don't know if it was hitting her head on the carpet or the power of God that flowed into her body and those bobby pins that were holding her head together became a conduit, you know. But I watched one of the funniest things I've ever seen. For the next 45 minutes, she must have had 25 or 30 bobby pins holding that head of hair together. I mean, I watched this. I watched these bobby pins go boom. Boom. It was boom. I mean, I counted 17 bobby pins on the whole. I mean, she's walling around, you know, and, you know, we just, okay, you know, 45 minutes, this is the truth. We're just praising, you know, and she's, and after 45 minutes, she was released, and I'll never forget, she stood up, drunk in the Holy Ghost. Could you imagine what she looked like? Hair was in 1,000 different directions. She's drunk. She falls over 3 people to get to her chair. She sits down on her chair. I'll never forget this. And the friend that came with her, oh, she just, you know, was doing this. So she pulled, this is funny, she pulled this pocket mirror out of her purse. And this is the truth. She went, stuck it right up in the woman's face. She went, ah! And I'm telling you what. We started rolling on the floor in laughter. I know where they got the concept, holy roller. We, for the next hour, could not stop laughing. She was totally humiliated, but she was totally healed. Fresh oil. Say it with me. Fresh oil. For authority, but for joy. We want the anointing to be respectable. And many times it's at the expense of it. So this is a congregation that I believe, and you have and you will, allow great freedom and liberty. Amen? Because I just really sense that that's going to be something, as people's hearts are being prepared, something that people want to experience. They want to encounter. You know, why is it that the world out there can, in strange and bizarre ways, express soulish freedom, physical freedom, and yet in the church, you know, we've got to remain pious and religious and pruned face. And there are times and seasons where there's soberness. Don't misunderstand me. But this is a church, you know, I'm getting this, you know, this is a delightful church. You're a delightful person. Tell the person next to you, say, you're a delightful person. And if they aren't, just speak it in faith. Hallelujah. You are a delightful person. The Bible says to delight in the Lord. That means in the Hebrew text to lay down everything that you believe is important for the purpose of fully adapting yourself to the person you're delighting in. Hallelujah. To delight in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. The third expression of freshness is fresh oil for fruitfulness. Amen. Say it with me, fruitfulness. Amen. Don't turn there, but if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, you will find the listing of blessings and curses. And it states that one of the curses for not serving the Lord with gladness and singleness of heart is this. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. And what it's saying is, the curse was this, that the fruit will fall to the ground prematurely before it could be made into pure oil. Because in the land of Israel, one of the greatest economies, at least back in that day, was the olive tree. Now, how do I word this? The Lord does not want us to have spiritual miscarriages. That all of the truths, all of the revelations, all of the realities we've entered into is to come forth. You're to bear fruit and much fruit. And your fruit is to remain. I go back to the question, are we barren or are we bearing life? This is a delightful church, delighting in the Lord and with one another. You have a contagious faith. You have a disarming love. You have a deep and abiding passion to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I decree that great grace is upon you as a congregation, that you will become amazingly attractive to people out there in the world. That they'll want what you have because they'll sense a freshness about you. Amen. You'll walk on authority. You'll walk in the zeal of God with renewed joy and anticipation. You'll be fruitful in whatever you put your hands to. You will be blessed in it. Hallelujah. And there are reasons why some people are experiencing barrenness. And we won't go into all of them, but I'll just list them. You know, some reasons why people are experiencing barrenness is that even though God is presently blessing us in the now and He's moving very powerfully, I believe we're in preparation for something even greater. And so there are appointed times that God has determined in His heart we're to move into. So one of the reasons why we may not be as effectively or bearing life is because we've got to, you know, wait upon a particular season, an appointed time when God says, as you prepare your heart in the now, you'll be brought into that. And you'll be ready to experience that greater season of fruitfulness. It's not negating what God is doing in the now. But it's just, you know, a concept. Here's another reason why people are barren is they're not willing to die to self. We've got to become as a corn of wheat, the Bible says. Dying. Many of us, sadly to say, in the church, we're resisting the pruning of God in our lives. And you have to be willing. That's a whole another message. You've got to be willing to be pruned. Amen. So that when the springtime arrives, you're prepared for the new growth, the new fruit. The Bible teaches that some of the reasons why people in the church are barren is that they despise certain things. One reason is they despise, sadly, their children. Another reason, they despise prophesying. They despise worship and praise and the expressions of liberty. Ask David's wife. They despise the day of small beginnings. Are you hearing this? Another reason why for barrenness is that there can be, not in every case, but there can be a satanic hindrance. Well, we war against that in Jesus' name. The way you war against it is that you rise up in freedom and liberty. Amen. You just express that freedom and liberty, and wherever there's bondage or hindrance, it's removed. Glory to God. Another reason why some folks are barren is that they're concealing something in the name of sin and iniquity. And God will not regard our hearts. He will not, you know, allow that to be remained hidden. We've got to reveal it. We've got to repent. We've got to move forward into the things of God. But here's the real, I believe, major reason why people are experiencing barrenness is that it takes an act of faith. We need an act of faith. I believe God is sending a word of faith to this congregation. Fresh oil. You're going to be exalted. The purpose, the calling, what God has prophesied and decreed for this ministry. I believe the fullness of time is upon you. Amen. You've weathered the seasons where there was fruitfulness, but maybe it was limited. That's over. I said, that's over. What is of God, it's solid. It's a tremendous foundation. God's powerfully going to impart, amen, tremendous revelations to this congregation. So what I want to do is tie this up by taking you to one other portion of Scripture very quickly here. In fact, you don't even have to turn to it. It's in Exodus 30. If you want to, you can turn there. But in Exodus 30, verse 22, I was pondering on this. And do you know what it means to be the sanctuary of the Lord? Sanctuary. The word sanctuary or tabernacle, one of the definitions means you are a refuge. And what it means is people in the outside in the world, in this corporate body, they come under the refuge of God. Now, this is a congregation that believes all things are to be done decently and in order. And you know, there's going to be an expression of freedom and liberty. It's awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right course. Hallelujah. But also, this is a congregation, if you're visiting here, it's spiritually a safe place. You're like a lighthouse set on a hill. It's safe. Amen. So, as you come under this refuge, corporately, there's a distinctiveness of anointing and a mingling and a mixing that this church is to be noted for. And if you study in Exodus 30, it speaks about the certain principal spices that were used to prepare the holy anointing oil. Would you say that with me? Holy anointing oil. And you've read this, but I'm just going to briefly touch on it. We're going to pray, and we're just going to believe the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I leave you with a decree and a proclamation. I'm sending a word of faith to you. Hallelujah. I believe God is going to watch over His word, because as I decree this, it's going to be brought to His remembrance in that sense, everything that He's decreed prophetically in times past. He's going to honor all of the saints that have been in this region, that have fasted and prayed and stood firm and faithful. Hallelujah. You've despised not the day of small beginnings. Amen. And so what's going to happen is God says, okay, I've got a remnant. I've got a core group of people that I can just entrust to them measures of my glory. I love when Isaiah states in Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord high. You can quote it with me. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his glory or train fills the temple. And if you look in the Hebrew, it brings out the concept that God has come to his house, but he's continually coming. He's continually coming deeper and deeper. He's rolling in more and more of his glory. Oh, I love that analogy. God has come to this temple.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What he's saying is, I want to exalt your purpose as an individual. The authority that you've been destined and called to move into as a believer. All of the giftings and talents that you find fruitfulness and favor in God. And then corporately, God is saying, there's this sweet aroma of life. You know, Paul brought that out. You know, we need to be an aroma of life to those that are seeking for reality, wanting to experience life. In other words, God wants all of us to smell good. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's a beautiful fragrance. I mean, really, there is. And so it's going to be enhanced. And so it's neat because here's these principal spices, the allegory in the natural, so in the spiritual. And so here's what I see in the spirit. People are going to come in from the outside under this refuge. Amen? You're going to be the happiest people they've seen in a long time. You're going to be the most hugging, loving, sloppy, agape church in this region. You're going to give a bunch of hug therapy to people. Amen? You ought to be the most loving people, attractive people. Make people feel welcome at home. Let them just feel that I've come home. This is what I've been searching and looking for many, many years. And we're not saying that other churches aren't being blessed. They are in their measure. And thank God for their expression and their freedom and their vision. But precious people, there's just something that God is saying. I want to anoint you with a fresh oil to be fat, flourishing in the courts of the Lord, to exalt your corporate vision, your horn, to the Amen region, to the nations of the world. And no matter what you're presently going through, however difficult it may be, we're not despising that. We're not minimizing it. I don't know what you've been going through, but God knows. Doesn't negate the word. In a place of shame and confusion, I'll give you everlasting and a double portion, quality and quantity. I just think that, you know, you can look upon a person's face and maybe they're going through a trial and a tribulation in their life, and you might see some strain in their eyes, but yet inwardly there's just something, you know, there's a buoyancy, there's just a knowing in their inner man that inwardly there's just a joy that's there. We've got to have that supernaturally imparted, precious people. We need that fruit of the Spirit. In these end times, we cannot be victimized, intimidated. The end times, if we're in the end times, are not to be a happening to you. You are to be a happening in the end times. And I know we always quote this verse in Matthew 24, I think verse 22. He that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. And we always interpret that as an endurance test. But if you look into the original text, it means he that makes a stand to the end, he shall be saved. Now this church is making a stand for truth. This church is making a stand for liberty. Amen. This is a training, equipping, activating church. This isn't just a spiritual feeding stall. It's a training center. You're not just to get fat spiritually. You're to grow up. And what you receive here under this refuge, you're to go. And how many know you cannot symbolically go? I got all of these pastors on the edge of their seat a while back, you know, because they love word studies. I said, pastors, here's the Greek definition for the word go. And they all got the notebook out and pen. I looked at them and said, go. One of the reasons why we're not experiencing greater miracles is we're claiming those miracles in the stay. Signs will follow those that go. So the greatest impact of this weekend and, you know, what's been established over the years and what will be established as we come in, the greatest impact is what God will do out there in your life. You know, some of us over the years, they want me to lay hands on them and impart this gift of faith and, you know, the miraculous intervention of God in our lives. And, you know, there's an aspect of that and a truth. But you know what the real truth is? All of us start at the same level. You go and you make yourself available. And there were months upon months where I laid hands upon the sick and didn't seem like I saw one person healed. But I forged it out with or without a vision, a revelation, an encounter with God. I believe God's word that believers shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. And so I said, God, I'm just going to be obedient to your word. If not one person gets healed, I'm still going to lay hands upon the sick, believing that they will recover. And I started like everyone else in praying for people or prophesying. It wasn't that some angel of the Lord initially came down and pulled out this spiritual sword. Kneel down, my son, you are anointed. Now, since you're anointed, go. And all of a sudden, revelation came. No, I had to step out like everyone else. I had to walk out on the water time and time again, believing that I heard from the Lord. And as by reason of use, as I prophesied, I grew in it, I increased in it, and then encounters came to help validate and strengthen it. So you know what? Go for it.
Yes.
God's placing upon this congregation fresh oil. Hallelujah. Because this is the refuge. The oil, it's being enhanced. And you see these compounds. The first one, we're just going to list them briefly and we're going to pray. Myrrh. Everybody say myrrh. One of the principal compounds was myrrh. One of the principal spices. If you look at the word myrrh, it brings out the thought spiritually, a mixture of experiencing God's love, but also suffering for his name's sake. But through the trial and tribulation, your faith is brought forth as pure as gold. And even though you may be going through a struggle, there's tremendous healing in myrrh. And myrrh was used as a painkiller. And if it was prepared correctly, it could be taken internally or smeared externally. That's one of the definitions for anointing. A mingling, a mixing, a smearing. Now, I believe that when people, not only yourselves, listen, come under this refuge, this sanctuary of God, every hurt, wound, and bruise is going to be healed. Because the principal importance of the anointing is to remove pain and hurt.
Yes.
And how many know this is a healing therapy center?
Yes.
If you look at the house of the Lord, the tabernacle of God, it means therapist. House and therapist is the same word. This is a house of therapists. That people are going to come in and eat and partake of the anointing that's within you. And you're going to become an aroma and a therapist to those that are hurt, wounded, and bruised. Can I hear a hearty amen?
Amen.
That's what is mingled, being mingled in here, in this fresh oil. Number two, cinnamon. Everybody say cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
For years I had a hard time pronouncing that. Well, sit that cinnamon. But my tongue has received a miracle. Cinnamon. Cinnamon is a fruit. If you realize it or not, it's a spice, but it's in the context of a fruit. And cinnamon is very flammable, catches fire very easily. And what this denotes, you ready for this? Not only will people come in from the outside and every hurt, wound, and bruise is healed, but it speaks of the fire of God, the zeal of God. It speaks of renewal and refreshing. Hallelujah. It means to glow, to burn, to be jealous for the things of God. This is a congregation that's going to honor God. You're going to love what God loves. You're going to hate what God hates. And you're going to be a congregation that's going to catch fire very easily. Hallelujah. Because cinnamon is a part of the holy fresh oil that's in this congregation. The third is calamus. Everybody say calamus.
Calamus.
And calamus is derived from the cane in the fields in particular. And in the land of Israel, they grow up in the midst of the lilies of the field. And when the flower of the cane, you're going to love this, when it's crushed, it brings forth a very sweet aroma. The bruising of that flower, this sweet aroma. Now what it means is, in this refuge, when people come into this congregation, not only is God going to heal every hurt, wound, and bruise, going to restore to them zeal, motivation, desire, and expectation. But when we go through difficulties, struggles, trials, and even, you know, situations with one another, you're going to remain fragrant when you're bruised. It speaks of forgiveness. It also speaks of these canes grow straight up out of the miry stream beds. And it means that here's a congregation that's going to stand up for righteousness in the midst of sin and perversion. You're going to make a stand. Hallelujah. It speaks about, you know, it's difficult at times in ministry as believers. How many know that? Not just, you know, out in the world that we have to contend with people, but among ourselves, sadly to say. And there's so much friction sometimes in charismatic Christendom and churches, so much warring. Wranglings. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I don't mean this critically, but in some respects, I have unsaved people that treat me better than Christians.
Yes.
And then we wonder why they don't want to join ranks with us.
Yes.
That's not going to be of this congregation.
Yes. Right.
You're not going to hold grudges. Because
yes.
If you hold grudges, it'll become a bitterness. You're going to remain fragrant when you are bruised. How many know that there's going to be times that you may even be betrayed? Jesus was betrayed in the house of his friends. People that he had covenant with, there were betrayals. Listen, that's just part of it. Paul, at one time, everybody forsook him. What do you think Gethsemane means? We're all going to have our Gethsemane experiences. It means the place of bruising of the olive berry, the crushing of the olive berry. And so it's the flesh of man that gets crushed so that the treasure and the fragrance that's within can flow forth, come out.
Amen.
It speaks of times of struggle, like the psalmist David, but in the midst of that, there may be some difficulty and bitter experiences, but in the crushing of that, you will overcome. Amen. You will triumph. And there will be a sweetness and a greater ministry expression to mankind. I mean, listen, when you go through some difficulties, you can relate to people out there in the world that are going through some of the same things. And they can relate to you because you understand.
Yes.
And you're an overcomer.
Yes.
He that makes a stand.
Yes.
I'm going to make a stand.
Yes.
I want fresh oil. Anoint my head like Aaron. Let it just flow. Hallelujah. This is what this weekend has been all about.
Yes.
If you're here for the first time, I'd encourage you to get the CDs. Listen to them. But for whatever reason, if you weren't able to make it, I'm believing this morning you're going to be able to just enter into this corporate unction.
Yes.
It's fresh. You smell good. Hallelujah. There's just, you know, there's a lot of churches I've gone to that have gone through so many difficulties and trials and tribulations. And, you know, they're still surviving, you know, they're there, the core, the remnant, and they're lifting their hands, and, you know, they still love Jesus. But hear this, there's a smell of smoke on their garments. It's like the three Hebrew children came out of the fiery furnace of testing. It says their hair was not singed, their coat was not burned, but it also says neither was there a smell of smoke on their garments. Now, I've gone to a lot of churches that have gone through difficulties, and I just took a whiff, and there was a smell of smoke. That's not the case for the church in these end times.
Yeah.
We're being anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil, amen. We're going to remain fragrant when we are bruised. Cassia. Everybody say cassia. We're almost finished. It means cassia is derived from the bark of a tree. It means to peel off. It means to purge, to split, to scrape off. The little rendering means to stoop. Now, in this wonderful refuge of God, I want you to hear this. People are going to come in from the outside. And not only is every hurt, wound, and bruise, God's going to heal. And He's going to do a quick work. He's going to restore zeal, motivation, and desire. They're going to see by your example, you're a tremendous person of forgiveness. And there's a sweetness about you because of the trying of your faith. And you've come forth as pure as gold. Hallelujah. And there's just a depth in you. Amen? But it also means, cassia means to stoop. And that means this is a congregation that's going to enter into the sacrifice of worship and praise and a spirit of brokenness. Let me say something. This is a church of dominion, but not a church of arrogance. You can be very humble and broken and contrite, but be a man and woman of great authority. And sometimes we misconstrued. Sometimes people that we think are of great authority, they're also quite arrogant. Brethren, I want that spice of cassia. I want the fresh oil. I want that, Lord, you know that I've fallen upon the rock and I'm being broken. God the Father says, I dwell with those that have a broken and contrite heart. You're a humble person. You're a broken person. Amen? Not fractured, just you're broken. You're just, you know, Lord, I want your all and in all. Come on, am I alone in this? I want you to be glorified in my life however way you wish to use me. Amen? If you don't want to use me, that's fine. If you want to use someone else in a greater capacity, go for it. You know, as a congregation of people, if you were used to certain service expressions of ministry, and yet the leadership comes along and says, I think for a season of time, this person is to come into that position. Don't feel threatened. Just serve. Just love people. Amen? None of us deserve any right to be used of God. That's not false humility. I know what I am, and I know in whom I believe in.
Yes.
It's the grace of God. And lastly, the olive berry, or the oil, which speaks of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? And what happens is, if you just have the spices, you've got to have something that's of liquid oil to enhance, you see, the element that enhances the aroma. If we want, hear this, the holy anointing oil, it will only come to a holy priesthood by a holy God. And the oil that this speaks about, it states, will not be permitted to be placed upon flesh. You remember what we shared with you? We need to get fat spiritually. We need soaking. We need the shemen. We need the fatness. We need a more concentrated spiritual oil. We need these spices spiritually. This is what they're going to come into. Out from that which there's harm and devastation, they come under this refuge. And it's a peaceful place. Come on now. It's a safe place. It's loving. There's care. There's consideration with one another, preferring one another, serving one another, sowing and giving. I'm telling you, give, precious people. I know you're good givers. Just give and give and give and give and give. Amen? What's going to bring you to the next level isn't just praise and worship, as important as that is. It's not just the leadership that God has blessed you with. It's not just, you know, the messages that go forth. It isn't Also, because you go out there and establish the rule of God wherever you go, you take the kingdom of God with you. It's a church that sows.
Yes.
And I mean, it is God's will for you to be so incredibly blessed financially that you'll come to the place you will, amen, you will not, you know, outsow God. He will cause a reaping to take place. The reaper will overtake the sower. And I believe some of the greatest days in your walk with the Lord, some creative entrepreneurial ideas, there's the potential for multimillionaires in this place. Don't you dare allow the cultural setting diminish that possibility. When I pastored, I used to ask God, God, why does the church over here have the multimillionaires, the doctors, the lawyers, the dentist? Lord, bring them in. Bring them into our congregation. You know, because, you know, our church, we're just hardworking folks. You know, I mean, you know, we just do the best we can. They were givers and all, but they just had so much. I said, God, but they're flourishing over there financially. Bring in. I used to try to call in, not to steal sheep, but others, you know, that Lord, I call in the doctors and the lawyers that aren't yet saved to come into this church. And one afternoon, the Lord corrected me and he said, why don't you believe in me that there's the potential with the people that are already in your congregation to become those blessed people financially? So what I did was I changed the tactics and I began to call forth the potential. Are we bearing life? You can have it all.
Yeah.
That's right. I said you can have it all. Yeah. Everything can be happening in this church at one time.
Yeah.
You can be the army of the Lord that can do it all.
Yes.
Don't just be noted for this emphasis or that emphasis. All of it.
Yes.
I don't say this pridefully. And you know my heart after this weekend, and please bear with me. People ask me all the time, well, what gifts do you operate in, Brother Maloney? Well, I mean, what specific gifts? All of them. That's not a prideful statement. I mean, why? You know, there are certain gifts that maybe I operate more profusely in because it identifies my ministry, but brethren, God wants you to move in all the gifts of the Spirit. The best gift is what people are in need of at the time you minister to them. I don't know, there's just one Holy Spirit, one gift, with many expressions. So by the fact you were here this weekend, certain activations were taking place more than you realize. You're going to be going along and all of a sudden, boom, this word of wisdom is going to just drop into your spirit to a person at your workplace, and you're going to go up to them and you're going to speak that forth and going to blow their minds. Hallelujah. That's right. How did you know? I mean, that's the analogy. Hear this. Under this refuge, we're going to pray right now. Under this refuge, everybody's equipped, anointed, and activated in their gifts. So an unsaved person comes in. Now, the first initial response of that unsaved person that's maybe not, you know, open or aware of freedom and liberty that we as quote unquote charismatics have, they're going to initially think, oh my God, these people are mad. They're weird. They're off their rockers. But what will happen is because we're in freedom and liberty, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, liberty, and He inhabits and enthrones in the praises of His people, the spirit of prophecy begins to activate, or the stirring of the Holy Spirit. And so one will have a word of knowledge, the other will have a word of wisdom, or a gift here, or a gift there. And that person that's unsaved maybe initially thinks we're wacky, but you're going to have the confidence to go up to them. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, the thoughts and the intents of their hearts will be revealed. And then they will fall down on their knees, on their face, and say, truly, God is in this place. Now, the problem in charismatic churches is we've got this great expression of freedom and liberty and dancing and shouting and tongues, and these unsaved people don't understand, but we don't take it further. We're not maturing in that. We've got to take it further into ministering to them while we got them here. Or you minister to them out there in the workplace and you move in that word of knowledge and wisdom and they experience a measure of freedom. So then when they come under this refuge and sanctuary, they're not going to be so blown away. Paul wasn't making a statement of, you know, fact that or an endorsement that you're not supposed to speak in tongues. He's just making a statement of fact. People are going to come in and think you're weird, mad. But you can change their hearts. That is what's being imparted. Fresh oil. Oh, come on, let's lift our hands and say, Lord, fresh oil. Come on, stand with me. Lift your hands without wrath, doubting. You've been a great group. Let's get our hands up in the presence of the Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you for this congregation, this ministry. That you're exalting their authority, their destiny, their call in this community and region. You're exalting their horn as the horn of a unicorn. And every individual brother and sister and man and woman, every child, Lord, there's a fresh oil. Come on, let it just begin to just enhance the aroma of the oil. Lord, have all of those precious principal spices to be expressed in and through us. For truly, this is your sanctuary. This is your house. Rest in your house. Lord, we want this to be more than just a visitation. We want this place to become your habitation. I'm believing that you're going to come to a point in your walk with the Lord, brothers and sisters, that God is going to be waiting for you to show up. Hallelujah, in this place. Wherever you assemble and meet. Father, I thank you for what I sense, the integrity. Come on now. Let's bless him. The goodness in every brother and sister here. I thank you. This is my family, Lord. Matters not if we live in Texas or live here in this area, Lord. It's one family. That's what's so awesome. Kinship in the spirit. For those that are visiting here this morning, those that weren't in the conference, Father, I just bless them and pray that you'll just have them enter into all of the attributes of what's been imparted this weekend. That no one is left out. Hallelujah. That everyone is blessed. Everyone is made fat in the Shemin of God. Everyone receives their spiritual oil change. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you once again, I want you to smile big at him. Big at him. And just say, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, give him a big hug. Give him some therapy. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.